Thanks, Steve. It's Friday, so on Fridays, Wendy and I speak with Alexander Zalbin. He's the managing editor over at Decider.com. It's a great website if you like TV and entertainment news. Alexander, how are things? Everything good?
Everything's going good for me. How's it for you?
Couldn't be better. Couldn't be better.
Well, it could be.
It could be better, but we don't need it to be better. It's just the right level of good. Let's start out by talking about yesterday. It was the 5,000th episode of The View over on ABC. Mm-hmm. And fireworks were lighting off all through the hour because they had on as their guest for the entire show Donald Trump Jr. and his girlfriend Kimberly Guilfoyle. And boy, was it nerve-wracking, the whole show. But it was great and horrible at the same time. Did you get a chance to see it?
Now, I didn't watch it myself, but our amazing news reporter Claire Spellberg covers The View every single day. She watches it and writes it up almost every single day. And so I was working with her on coordinating some coverage. From everything that I saw and everything she said, it just seems like the most uncomfortable thing of all time. And apparently it extended into the commercial break where it came out today that Whoopi Goldberg was shushing the audience, telling them, if you keep booing like this and keep shouting like this, we can't actually do our jobs. So overall, I don't know if it was the best way to celebrate the 5,000th episode of The View, but it certainly got a lot of eyeballs on it.
Why would they book him as a guest? I just am confused about it.
I think it's just the show thrives and the rating thrives on controversy and contention. You know, people, if they got there and the whole panel was sitting there and just having a pleasant time with each other, nobody writes or talks about the show. The second Meghan McCain yells at Whoopi Goldberg, suddenly it's a news story. And what better than, I guess, better in quotes, than Donald Trump Jr. sitting there, who Meghan McCain already clearly hates and is going to go to the mat at, and everybody else. And they were just yelling at each other the whole time.
But Meghan McCain actually was very poignant in her talks and questions to him and was keeping it together.
Yeah. I think she's been very well aware that whenever she says anything, she gets it written up absolutely everywhere. And frankly, we hear a Decider do the same thing because it's news and it's buzzy. So when it comes to something like this, the funny thing that happens is they have a guest that you go, oh, here we go. Oh, this is going to be a big fight. She actually restrains herself. She seems to pull herself back a little bit and be more measured, like you're saying, which is interesting to see.
It's really strange. Alex, I don't know if I've told you this. Wendy already knows this, and the listeners know it. I watch the show nearly every day. I tape it because it's on when we're on, and then when I get home, I watch it, or most of it anyway. And without a doubt, what you said is true. It's a show built on controversy. You get very different opinions, and sometimes there's fights, there's clashes. Sometimes it's very uncomfortable, but it is very real and honest, and that's why I watch it all the time. It's one of the last bastions of really honest television where the hostesses do speak their minds, and they do have different opinions, but I can't figure out, because of the five hostesses on the show.
How about hosts?
Let's go with hosts. None of them seem to want him to be there. Like, you would almost think they would have ran this past them saying, look, I know you guys don't believe in this guy politically, but it would make for some great ratings to have him on. But none of the five seemed even remotely comfortable with him being there. It was a very strange episode.
I think it's exactly what you're saying, that it came down to ratings more than anything else, and they understood beyond the 5,000th episode they wanted to do something big and buzzy, and certainly that's what they got. I think a lot of people were very interested in seeing the fireworks and seeing everything go down. Like you said, I don't think it makes for good television. At the same time, though, when you have people who are uncomfortable and upset about the person who's going to be there. So it's a understandable choice from a production perspective, but an unfortunate choice from a viewer's perspective.
One other quick thing about yesterday. That's quite a milestone to reach 5,000 episodes. That's really a very admirable milestone. When the show was first conceived by Barbara Walters and Bill Getty, the producer of the show, their goal was to have various topics discussed by women of different ages, and that's what the show exactly is. Here's the question. They did bring Bill Getty, the original producer, back on to talk about the early days of The View yesterday, but Barbara Walters was nowhere to be seen, which leads me to believe maybe something's wrong with Barbara Walters. Is she okay health-wise? Do we have any idea?
I don't know about that. That was surprising because that was the person we certainly expected to be there. But also, she's 90 years old at this point, you know, so she's doing probably about as well as a 90-year-old could be expected.
Yeah.
Again, I haven't talked to her doctors or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it's certainly going to be a lot harder for her to travel out than the producer.
All right. All right. Let's switch gears to something Wendy and I discussed yesterday. There's a show that you recommended several weeks ago, and I had watched it, and Wendy started watching it, a show called Living With Yourself with mm-hmm. Paul Rudd and Paul Rudd. They're both in it, both Paul Rudds.
I like the one Paul Rudd better.
But Wendy's way of watching the show is a little different from most. Wendy, please explain.
Alex, I clicked on Netflix, and it's I searched it, and it's Start Watching Now. So I said, okay, and I did. And then I'm like, I'm going to watch one more episode. This was going to be episode number 3. And when I looked at the very top, it said episode 4. And I said, how did I mess this up? I started watching at episode 2. I was a little confused for a while. And then I went back and watched it, and it explained things. But honestly, I was still able to kind of figure out what had happened.
Yeah.
I just didn't know how it got there.
Yeah.
So I recommend doing it in order, but I was mad at myself because I was like, oh, I just ruined this series for myself, but I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed it tremendously. The acting is great. I couldn't identify where I knew his half-sister, and it's maybe from Arrested Development. I figured that out. It's really good and different.
Yeah, it's a good, solid show. I also recommend watching it in order, if possible. Though it sounds like you had a weird tech error probably happened with Netflix. But one of the nice things about your show, to your point, is that every episode you have these two Paul Rudds. They're, without getting too much of spoilers, one of them is a clone of the other. Most of the episodes flash back and forth between the clones. So one's focused on one Paul Rudd, the next one is focused on the other Paul Rudd. So usually they'll rewind every other episode to kind of show you what's going on with the other one to give you this different perspective on the events that have happened. So, of course, it's going to be a richer experience if you watch the whole thing, but it's kind of a neat experience because you can potentially, I guess, jump back and forth between the episodes if you really like.
That's why I was able to do it, because I thought, oh, here's mm-hmm. where it started. I bet they're going to flash back and explain how we got there, but you know, it does work. I'd recommend the right way.
Alex, I've been watching Gilligan's Island, but I don't watch the beginning theme song, so I didn't know that they had been shipwrecked on an island. That's weird, right?
Okay. Yeah. When I read a book, I usually go chapter 1, then chapter 5, then chapter 3.
Yeah. All right. And you know what it is I remember now, I started watching it, so I was like 2 minutes into it. And when I loaded up again, I must have clicked watch next episode. So that's what happened. It wasn't Netflix's fault.
Yeah.
Nope. It was operator error.
We'll take a break. More ahead with Alexander Zeldman from Decider.com. If you have any questions or comments about your favorite shows or shows that you don't like, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Alexander Zalbin is here. He's the managing editor of Decider.com. We have him on Fridays, and we discuss television shows, past, present, and future. Alex, what did you think of the ABC production of The Little Mermaid the other night? Did you get to see that?
That was pretty weird, honestly. You know, for those who didn't check it out, they basically showed the movie of The Little Mermaid and then would cut to live musical numbers. So I have a hard time calling it a live version of The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
And the extra layer of confusion beyond the fact that overall it was just not very good was there is actually a live stage musical of The Little Mermaid. So it's not like they didn't have anything to pull on and they just had to show the movie. Just they made a strange choice, I think, mostly to minimize rehearsal time and to minimize production costs. And ultimately, regardless of what I or anybody else thought, it really paid off for them because it was a huge ratings win. It was the biggest live musical in a very, very long time, in a couple of years at least. And so I think we're probably going to see more things like that again.
It's so strange. I watched most of it, and I thought the songs that they did were really ambitious. It really looked like you were underwater. Mm-hmm. They made the theater look like you were underwater. It was great. But I can't figure out why they just didn't go the extra mile and do the whole show live.
I think it really must have come down to budget or production schedules or something like that, or they decided, hey, we're going to show The Little Mermaid on a Tuesday. oh, here's how we can plus it up a little bit or something like that to draw more eyeballs. But again, from their perspective, whatever they're doing, whatever bizarre choices they made really paid off because it was a huge social win. Tons of people were tweeting and chatting about it. And it was a ratings win as well. People watched on a Tuesday night, which is very surprising.
Yep, yep. More news with Disney, and that's Disney Plus launching this week on Tuesday. What can you tell us?
Yeah, this is Disney's big, ambitious move into the streaming space. It is their original streaming service. It has an enormous backlog of almost everything that you'd want from Disney, from the early animated movies to the Ridiculous Live movies to young Kurt Russell, all of their TV series, all of their animated series, Star Wars, Pixar, Marvel movies, all of this stuff is on there. And they're going to be doing original series as well. The big one that is going to be launching first episode on Tuesday, and this is one of the ones they didn't send out. They're trying to preserve the surprise about it. It's the first live-action Star Wars series called The Mandalorian. It takes place after Return of the Jedi, so after the original Star Wars trilogy. Stars Pedro Pascal, Carl Weathers, Giancarlo Esposito. Nick Nolte is playing a CGI pigman, so you got to tune in just for that. But it looks kind of amazing and dark and like a Star Wars Western on the edge of the galaxy, so that's very exciting. There's a ton of other things they have going on there. Just some quick highlights that I'll mention. They have a live-action version of Lady and the Tramp that uses actual dogs. Which is great after you saw The Lion King, which, you know, had these weird CGI creations. They certainly, like, they CGI their mouths or they're talking, but I watched the other day in a screener. It's very charming.
I have to see this. Movie. Do they eat spaghetti? That spaghetti scene?
Spaghetti eating scene is so wonderfully insane. I cannot describe it. Seeing it with live dogs is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And they recognize in the movie, they're like, well, this is a crazy thing that's happening right now. It's very charming. So definitely recommend watching that. Another one that is great and very short. If you saw Toy Story 4, you met Forky, who is the Spork voiced by Tony Hale, who was brought to life. It's a very weird character, but they have a short series. They're 3 minutes long called Forky Asks a Question, where this Spork just tries to figure out what's going on with life. It's very funny. It's classic Pixar. Again, it's only 3 minutes long, but I highly recommend checking it out. And the last one that I'll mention is there's a show called Encore that is partially hosted by Kristen Bell, which if you were ever a high school theater kid, will give you serious anxiety. They take high school casts that did musicals in high school and they reunite them 10 to 15 years later to perform the same musical again in the same parts with professional Broadway production values. And they put the whole thing together in a week. It's stressful beyond belief as somebody who just, you know, did high school theater to think, oh my God, coming back and trying to do this again. It's terrifying, but it's very positive. It's very life affirming. It's very Disney. It's good. And there's a lot of other things that are coming down the pike there, but that's some of the initial offerings.
Can I confess something, Alex?
Yes.
3 minutes ago when you said Nick Nolte plays a CGI pigman, I haven't heard a single thing
right,
you said since.
You should have seen his face.
I'm sure you've said a lot of important things since then, but they're all lost on me. As soon as you said that, I'm lost.
I mean, I think the entire internet shut down. The other thing that people have been losing their minds over with The Mandalorian is Werner Herzog is in it.
Wow.
Who is this Gonzo director, and he plays a part of like a smuggler or something like that. It's created and partially directed by Jon Favreau, but also they have an amazing lineup of directors, including Bryce Dallas Howard, Taika Waititi, Dave Filoni, who is basically the Star Wars guy. He did a lot of the animated series, graduated to live action to this, so it's very exciting. I'm excited to check it out.
I have a husband who is very excited about that, and that's why we're getting Disney, and it launches Tuesday.
It launches Tuesday.
Yes.
I know this is a naive question, but that's me. Let's say somebody wants this. What do they have to do to get this? How do you just get Disney Plus on your TV? What do you need to do?
Sure. There's a ton of different ways, and I do recommend, not to plug my own thing, but definitely go to Decider.com. One of our writers in particular, Josh Storakatch, has been doing an amazing job putting explainers there. But first of all, if you have Verizon it's free. You already have it starting on Tuesday for a year. You're going to free a year of that. Otherwise, you're going to have to subscribe. It's $6.99 a month or $69.99 a year, which is shockingly cheap given streaming services. But you can get it on basically anything. They just announced they finally settled the deal, so it's going to be on Amazon devices, Roku devices. I don't 100% know, actually, about Apple TV devices, just because they launched their own streaming thing.
Yeah.
But I believe there's an app that's going to launch in the iOS store, so you should be able to get it that way. So you'll basically be able to watch it anywhere. Again, it is a subscription, but they're also going to have a 7-day free trial starting November 12th that you can check out as well, in case you're curious.
Here's a text from 224. They say they like seeing Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars every week, but it's confusing. Please explain how it... Now, I don't watch the show, but I do. I pick up on this from other media sources. Evidently, he's not a very good dancer, but he keeps getting voted into the next round every week. What's going on there, do you think?
Well, so there's this guy. I don't know if you've heard about him. His name is Donald Trump, and President of the United States. And he keeps tweeting and telling people, vote for Sean Spicer on Dancing with the Stars. Right. And even though he is terrible on Dancing with the Stars, they keep voting him back in because of that. And in fact, in the last episode, the judges expressed their dissatisfaction and said, listen, he is not good. You need to stop doing this because this is not good for the overall health of the show. But he's trucking on, and we'll see what happens going long term.
And Rick and Morty back. We have about less than a minute here, but how long has that delay been? Because I feel like that show ended a while ago.
Oh, my gosh. It's been away for years at this point, but it is coming back this Sunday night with 5 new episodes. The first one is going to be Saturday night. Without giving any spoilers, it's as hilarious as it always was. So if you're a fan of the show, definitely check it out. It's great.
And that's on Adult Swim. I love that show.
Didn't Lyndon B. Johnson used to tweet about how great Rick and Morty was years ago? You got to watch Rick and Morty. I remember him doing that. Alex,
he watched the first episode, the fourth episode, and the third episode, so a little out of order. But
Alexander Delvin's the managing editor of Decider.com. Go there. See what they've got. It's Decider.com. Alex, thanks so much. We'll talk to you in a week.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. We have a quick break, and then Dan protests and reality a la on WTTW's Firsthand Gun Violence. It's a show that talks about gun violence here in Chicago, the aftermath of it, the remaining family. It's very interesting. Can't wait to hear about this. They're waiting in the PPG Paints green room, and they will be on with us coming up after the news on WGN.